Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-7541. 854-7541 or call toll free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how are you?
Okay, on this Saturday, March 11, 2017, over and over.
Is that 4,034?
Yeah, I don't know. Add them all up and you see.
What, is the snow bugging you? Is
that, yeah, I wasn't used to it. I thought winter was over. You know, I got spoiled with everybody else, I guess. You know, I guess winter in Buffalo is back again.
Well, I've been driving back and forth between Amherst and Lockport. We have our New York State amateur hockey state championships on. So this morning, about 5:45, driving the 990 in the blizzard with no plows and that, it was, you sort of forget as often as you drive.
With spring right around the corner.
Yes, sir.
This makes a lot of sense, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it perfect timing. Right now, it's 10:04 in the morning, and we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520. At midnight, unless there's a sporting event. And if there is a sporting event at that time, the show will be rebroadcast after the sporting event.
But what about during the day if there's one?
If there's one during the day?
Yeah, what happens?
Well, unfortunately, the UB women's basketball team lost yesterday. If they had won, then this show would have ended at 10:30 this morning, and it would have been a half-hour show.
Terrible. They would have been terrible.
And,
what would we do?
Apparently,
with
the other in the
half
fourth
hour?
Period, they came on pretty strongly, but still ended up losing by 7 points.
As you can tell,
points,
Peter is
big sports fan.
Fourth quarter.
I was watching
fourth
that quarter. Anxiously because I know we have a hard time getting calls in our first half hour, and I said, "Boy, if it's a half an hour show, we're really in trouble."
We've never been preempted, have we? In the 20 years?
Yeah, not that I know of. No. It was close. That was close.
Yeah. You
know. Also, we'll say, you know, beside us being rebroadcast at midnight on this station, we are available at our website, live streaming every Saturday morning from 10 to 11. So if you go to sapriston.com, that's SAPERSTON.com, you can catch the show live streaming on most devices that connect to the internet. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. If you miss a show, you want to replay a previous show, you can go to the website and pick up the archive show. And finally, last but not least, every week, bright and early, Saturday morning, there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy.
Yes, read it intently this morning, and they talked about the unemployment rate. So if you have any interest in those type of figures, it's talked about. And the interesting thing that I took out of it was that although unemployment dropped to 4.7%, the U6, which is the scale that I like to look at, is 9.2. And interesting that everybody's saying how great this economy is, which I, you know, I disagree because I think it's about jobs and wages. And we've seen jobs, but not higher paying, is that the pre-recession, Peter, what do you think the U6 figure was prior to the recession in 2008? It's 9.2 presently, but what do you think it was prior to the recession?
19.2.
No, it was 8.4. So,
but at one point it got up to 19.2.
Right, but it's not, everybody's saying we're over this, we're over that. Mm-hmm. And
well, we'll talk, we do have a few phone calls, and so we'll get back to the employment numbers, which are distorted tremendously.
What a tease.
So we'll talk about that because they really weren't what they appeared to be. Right now, give us a phone call. Phone numbers are 803-1520 or 803-1536. The two main numbers, if you get a busy signal, you can call 803-0321, 803-0323, and 803-0324. And I guess, Willard says nobody will remember those numbers. Well, I don't know what to say about that, but if you do get a busy signal.
That's why you do it.
0321, 03232, and what, 0323 and 0324.
No, it's on the wall.
Know. All those numbers. So we can read them because they're up on the wall. But right. And also, we do have an 800 number, 800-879-7541. We're going to go first to Bob in Buffalo. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good. Willard told me to call, so I called.
Hey, you really helped us out there.
Hey, the economy is great.
Oh, sure.
For the top 10%.
Well, interestingly enough, okay, and you led me back into this, for those employment numbers.
Right.
But, this was out of Barron's today. It says, increasing warmth, literally instead of figuratively, was reflected in the jobs report for last month, which was the balmiest February since 1954. That's heavily skewed the seasonally. And you got to remember, these employment numbers are seasonally adjusted, okay?
Right.
So the norm, for the mercury normally was supposed to be around 34 degrees, was 41 degrees,
Okay.
So he said, and this guy, David Rosenberg, who they're quoting, said, treat February data with a huge grain of salt, okay? And they say, obviously not the salt used to melt snow, But anyway, the seasonal adjustment was supposed to compensate for the usual deep freeze of February. After applying the fudge factor, construction jobs supposedly jumped by 58,000, triple the norm of the past year, and in the sector that's slowing. At the same time, only 184,000 folks couldn't make it to work because of the bad weather. Normally, half the February norm of 365. So if you put the more normal numbers back in, that normally were in there, the headline payrolls would be 55,000, not 235,000.
Right.
So anyway, thank you for letting me bring that up. Right. So do you take every piece of information in the world with a grain of salt?
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Oh, and I stand corrected on my idea about where gold and silver was going.
Yeah.
It's correcting.
It is correcting.
And you know what? I think it bottomed out.
Do you really?
Yeah.
And why?
Why? Because one is the central bankers are buying it up like it's going out of style. Second is all the people I read that I trust, they all seem to think that it's bottomed out, and I could see that. So some of those stocks that I was buying that dropped down, I'm going to add to my positions.
Interestingly, I was going to say, well, who do you trust? it's hard to find anybody to trust.
I don't trust anybody, but some people are factual, and I have a way of just coordinating different viewpoints and seeing how close they are.
Oh, okay.
It's hard. It's very hard.
It is very hard, yeah.
People that are trustworthy do make mistakes.
Oh, no question. No question about it.
Yeah, it is hard, but I've got nothing better to do. Make a little art once in a while, but I'm looking at it kind of bottomed out the way I'm seeing it right now based on all my research. Because the lower numbers are higher. a few years ago when gold bottomed out, it was 1,050.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I don't think it's going to go much lower than 1,200.
And where did it close anyway?
1204.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it,
yeah,
I
awful
think
close. Yeah.
Plus the fact that it dropped 9 days in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is very unusual. So I'm looking at, besides my old favorites, I'm looking at AUY.
AUY. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll take a look at AUY.
What is it?
Yamana Gold.
Yamana Gold. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a.
Well, I mean, that is, you know, it made a bottom at the same level, you know, about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Close to 262.
Yeah, that's very important support. So, you know, very interesting.
What is it right now?
Well, where to close?
It's 262.
Yeah, and you know, the support level, which has many, many hits in the past, okay, is at 254.
Right.
And
yeah, that's where I saw it yesterday, but I looked at it very early.
Yeah. Right.
Went to 246, I'm showing a low.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in other words, people always have to remember, you say, support's 254, and they go, oh, my God, it broke 254, and it went to 246. What are you, stupid? You know, but, you know, no number is exact. You know,
right.
In other words, you're saying that area around 254, you know. Well,
yeah, that's why I said gold will be around 1,200.
There you go. That's the way to do it, really, because they'll nail you, you know. So.
Oh, every time. Now, I mean, what was Humana's 52-week high?
It's five something.
Yeah, it looks like, yeah.
597.
Yep, there
around
you go.
Around six.
He's on the ball.
Yeah, that's kind of sweet.
Yeah, I'm showing
then,
a target of 430.
And we have NAK who's down where...
Well, we don't talk about that thing anymore. We're waiting for that to get to 75 cents, right?
Exactly, exactly. And let's see, there was one other one I was looking at.
You know, all I would say is for AUY, though, believe me, if this general area doesn't hold, you know, the next area supports around the $1.40, you know. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so.
Wow, that's real low.
Yeah, so.
But that would be nice buying.
Oh, yeah, no question about that, because that was a major double bottom, you know, back in the end of 2015, the beginning of 2016. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a...
Now, how do you see HMY? That was one of my favorites.
Was that Harmony Gold?
$2.
Yeah, Harmony.
Which may be a good buy.
Well, I mean, if you want to look at that, you know, the encouraging part about that is that didn't come down to, you know, its support level, which would have been around $1.89, you know.
Oh, okay.
So it held a little bit higher than that, you know. And let me, because I'm looking right now at a weekly chart, and if I look at a daily chart, yeah, same thing, you know, $1.89, but this thing stopped short of it, so.
Close to 221.
Yeah, so and 221 was the close, yeah.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
So that would be even mildly encouraging that it didn't even get back to that support area at all, you know.
Well, that sounds good. So I'm keeping my eye on all of these. Now that I sold that favorite stock that we won't talk about anymore.
That we won't, yeah, we never talk about that thing.
I have some money to play with.
Yeah, right. I just hope the guy who called me at work, by the way, you know, and when it ran up to the 350.
Right.
And I said, you know, I'd probably at least take some profits or get out of it, you know. I said,
right.
You know, because now everybody's hearing this tremendous news and you take advantage of it, you know. So I don't know what he did.
Well, I appreciate talking to you just before I sold it, too, because that was encouraging.
Right.
So I would have been really sad if I didn't.
No question about that, yeah.
Well, anyways, guys, you have a wonderful winter weather day.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Clocks
very much.
Move ahead tonight.
Oh, the woolly bears were correct this season.
They were.
You know anything about the woolly bears?
No. Who are the woolly bears?
Oh, they're caterpillars, and they predict the winter.
Oh.
And in the beginning, the first part of the woolly bear on his back was real dark brown. And if you recall, we got 30 inches of snow in December in 10 days.
Hmm.
And then it got mild, and on the woolly bear, there was just a little brown on the tail. And now we're getting winter back just before spring.
Holy cow.
And I only saw one woolly bear this year, so.
I don't think I've ever seen one. No, no.
Well, I live
it's because he doesn't look.
The city, but where I live is actually like the country.
Oh, okay.
so there's a lot of wildlife around here.
Well, you got me something else to keep an eye on then. So I'll be hunting around for the woolly bear. So,
well, I think the next week or two it'll be a little mild, and then we'll go back to spring weather.
Oh, I hope so, because then if it gets a little milder, I get my fence repaired from that ridiculous wind the other day. So
right. Well, thank you guys.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
Okay. Right now, phone numbers are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520 or 803-1536. Two main numbers if they're busy, 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324, or 800-879-7541. So give us a call. Right now, we're going to go to Jerry and Alden. Good morning.
Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Jerry.
On this wintry day.
Yes.
You know, I had a question, and it's local stocks never seem to come up on the show, and I don't know if that's because
there aren't any good ones or what.
Most of the investors. Well, you know, I'm not a big buyer of those,
right.
But over the years,
no, there are some good ones though.
Real growth at like times like Astronix.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I was kind of looking at Computer Task Group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
way down. And
yeah, I mean, I thought I saw something where the CEO said, things were looking up.
Yeah, they replaced the CEO.
Yeah, and they were going to focus toward the healthcare area, which they had been doing, and something else. I just briefly read the article, but the stock had a nice run in here. I mean, if you look from last November, the stock was down around 4 and it ran up to about 6 something, And now it's had a little pullback, but it looks interesting, Let me just take a look back.
Yeah, closed at 557. One of the issues with a lot of our local companies, Jerry, is there's really no volume.
Oh, okay.
And when you hear some of these local companies, they're starting to move. A lot of it is what I used to call cocktail party talk, where somebody knows somebody that knew somebody and somebody else. And I've only got one client in all the years that not concentrates, but likes to buy local companies. So,
But it's interesting that this 550 area has been touched many times in the past, right? So you would look at this as being potential support on it right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if it holds and
if it holds, okay, it should then go back up and test that high, around what, 630 something, 632 it looks like.
Yeah, that's 33 is a 52.
Yeah, 633. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, if it got through that, then next resistance would be in the 7 area.
Okay.
And it's got a nice dividend, 4.3%. I don't know how secure. You got to do some research and see what their cash or reserves are, how long they've paid them, et cetera.
But this could be, I'd like to see, a little more buying coming into it. But as David said, it really doesn't usually trade a lot of volume, the most I've seen now, and geez, it's how long? Back last year, maybe up around 250,000 shares, in a day.
Average volume's 47,000.
Yeah. So, this is an interesting area to be looking at it. It is very, very important support in here.
Yeah, the other one that if one knew the post-election growth and military net, Moog might have been a good buy. I just kind of look in the paper, the year's growth, and it was good up from last year. I've never owned it.
But. Yeah, the only problem with somebody like that, and there's a couple other local companies that escape my mind, is that they're dependent upon government contracts. Like you said, and when things are good, they're good. But sometimes they get awarded them, but they never get funded. It's a complicated. It's complicated.
Yeah, but the interesting thing, I mean, Moog had died. It had a tremendous drop. Off its high in 2015, and it came all the way down to the 40 area. And that now it rallied all the way back. At one point, it hit close to 75. And it's right now on its trend line, on its uptrend line right now that it's at.
Okay.
So that one, could, believe it or not, potentially be interesting. It's still in a long-term uptrend.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Okay. Appreciate the call. Okay, right now, phone numbers to call. Two main numbers are 803-1520 or 803-1536. If you get a busy signal, you can call 803-0321, 803-0323. Why is there no 0322? I want to keep saying that. And 803-0324 or 800 number 879-7541. Right now, the phone lines are wide open, so give us a call. Right now, we're going to go to Pete in East Aurora. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you, Peter and Dave?
Okay,
good, thank you.
Yeah, I have two stocks I'd like a stop on. I just got back into Randgold, G-O-L-D. I'm in about 85, just about where it is. How low would you hold it? I mean, obviously it's dependent on the bullion, but...
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes they will move opposite. I mean, to me, the breakdown level on this would be under 80.
Under 80, yeah.
Yeah, if it dropped to 80, yep.
Well, I only took a half a position. I've been out since about 90, but I was looking to get back in. One other, if you would, JMF. In this one for the dividend, I want to hold it as long as possible, but this one is particularly volatile. I don't mind it going down to 1150 or something, but I'm not going to hold it down to 6 where it was a year or two ago.
Yeah, JMF is Nuveen Energy MLB, I'm looking at. Yeah,
it's Jerry... Or John?
John.
Michael Frank?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't.
Yes, John Michael Frank. Yeah, it's probably largely dependent on oil.
Yeah, and you know, looking at it, it's right now at support, all right? So I'd love to see, say 1290 or so hold on it. You know, and if it went below 1290, the next support would be around, say $12, okay?
Yeah, that's where I put the stop, yep. $11.80, $12 in
exactly.
Two different positions.
Yeah.
I think if it breaks that, it's definitely going lower.
Yeah, it'd be very encouraging if this, you know, sent around 1290 holes, you know, because that's very important support, so...
The fixed income stocks seemed to bounce back yesterday, but the 2 days before it, I've never seen a couple of them move so quickly down so much. Was there something new out there? I don't know of anything.
Well, the 10-year treasury ran up and went from about 2.25 to close at 2.58, so it was a dramatic increase in that rate.
Was that this week?
Yeah, this week there was a big jump up. But you know, it was interesting, and different fixed income stocks, for whatever the reasons, you know, what they're in, how they operate, react differently, you know, and based on the volume and that type. So a lot of factors can affect when interest rates pop all of a sudden, you know, and you get a sharp jump. And you got the sharp jump. And interestingly enough, you know, we've been saying we thought around 2.6 on the 10-year, around once again, would be maybe the high, you know. And it's interesting that yesterday with the supposed big jump in employment number, right, and the guarantee of that the Fed will increase rates next week, right, that it didn't move up anymore, and actually the yield backed off a little, a tad, right?
So well, the Fed knows those figures, and that's what I've always wanted to do a study on comments made a couple of weeks before, and then was it an increase or not? Never done it, but it would be interesting because the media was approaching that it's definitely going to be raised, or there's a possibility it's going to be raised. And as you said, it looks like it's locked.
And what the interesting thing, even though that figure is bogus in the sense of the seasonal adjustments and so forth, it gives the Fed the cover to raise the rates.
Except there's no inflation.
Doesn't matter. They want to raise rates.
That's where we disagree.
And they do. They want to raise rates, right? You know, and they also feel that that's a sign that the economy is strong and people won't get excited about it.
And they know
it,
it's not strong.
Yeah, but
they
whatever.
Do know that.
Whatever, you know, whatever.
We'll see.
But they will raise rates next week, all right? The only thing that would shock them.
What day that will happen?
I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah, I think the meetings are Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, probably Wednesday.
You'll know. It'll be all over the financial.
But, you know, two things that could shock the market if they raised it a half, which I don't think they would, you know. And the only other thing that would do it is if they say something really, really hawkish, you know, in their little meeting, you know, their press conference after it, you know. But other than that, mm-hmm. I mean, I think the rate increases for this year are baked into the market, you know.
It would seem so.
Yeah.
Some of the fixed income stocks did not react.
Right.
Like the GUT, which David, I know, has.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't react negatively early in the week.
Right.
But others did.
Yeah, like I say. Okay.
It's the 17th and 18th, which is whatever day I don't have.
There's so many factors. I mean, that one, the GUT is a utility trust, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other factors, you know, for what's affecting utilities right now, you know.
Yeah, that's the wrong dates.
Well, then,
the ones I gave.
They say they're interest sensitive.
They're supposed to be interest sensitive, but they're also theoretically going to benefit from the Trump policies too, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, I will say that about the unemployment figures, for what they're worth. At least the jobs added seemed like real jobs in mm-hmm. manufacturing, and I forget what the other one was, but it wasn't hamburger flippers and that sort
of definitely,
thing.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I think the numbers were distorted by the seasonal adjustments, but that doesn't affect manufacturing quite as much as it does by the construction jobs, you know, that they show and that type of thing, you know.
Oh, it's the 14th and 15th meeting.
Right.
14th and 15th.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Peter.
Okay, right now, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, 803-1536. Two main numbers. If they're busy, try 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324, and we do have an 800 number, 800-879-7541, so give us a call. We're going to go next to Marty in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Marty.
Good. Now, listen, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the advantage or disadvantage of getting ETFs?
Good question.
Well, first of all, the advantages are a couple. You know, they're low fees running the ETFs. You know, versus, for example, a mutual fund.
Okay.
The other advantage of an ETF, you know, once again, versus a mutual fund, is that mutual fund you can only sell as of the closing price of that day, right? An ETF you can get out anytime during the day.
Oh, okay. It's like a stock, like buying a stock.
It's like buying a stock, exactly. And that, you know, can be an advantage, you know. You know, like if the world was falling apart and you say, oh my God, I have to wait until the end of the day for the closing price of my mutual fund, you know. So that's an advantage, you know. The other advantage to the ETF that we kind of like is it gives you more diversification. So, for example, rather than you trying to pick the one great energy stock or the one great material stock, you can pick a diversified group of stocks in the sector by buying the ETF, right?
Okay. Okay, well, here's my question. I have some National Fuel, and I got a little too much of National Fuel. So I'm thinking of, I'm with Vanguard, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to buy Vanguard, it's called VPU, Utility ETF.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking of taking my position out of National Fuel, some of it, and putting it into this VPU, Utility Vanguard. Do you know anything about that one?
Is this in your 401k?
I have some in my 401, and I have some of my personal National Fuel.
Okay.
And what was the symbol on that, though?
D as in David.
VPU. Right. Vanguard's VPU.
VPU. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm hearing D. I don't know why.
No. Victory.
Right, okay. You know, like the previous caller mentioned, normally utility will be affected by rising interest rates. Okay.
Right. Right.
Because they're heavy borrowers. Okay. You know, for capital.
Right.
You know. So, but you know, the other side of the coin is the interesting thing is everybody's been talking about rising interest rates, and these things plummeted for all of 2016. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were up in the 116 area or so, and they got down under 100.
Okay.
And since then, even with the rising interest rates, they've been rallying, you know.
Yeah.
So unless interest rates went totally berserk, and I still don't think the long-term rate, at least for some time, is going to get that dramatically higher, I think it could be a good place to be right now. You know.
Yeah, like I said, I like the utility sector. I just like to take some of my position in National Fuel and put some of this in. If I look over that, like for 10 years, it's averaging like between 7% and 10%. So that's a little less than National Fuel was paying like six or something.
But,
I think it was averaging.
But you need to take into consideration that over the last 10 years, interest rates have gone down.
True.
And I don't know you. I don't know anything about your percentages in your portfolio, but it sounds like you might be overweighted in one area. And by going out and buying an ETF, you're still going to be in that area that could get painted by the same brush. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. The other thing about ETFs is there's regulation coming on ETFs now, which is going to be interesting. And I just did a portfolio for a client we bought a couple of years ago. He wanted to buy an S&P small cap energy ETF, Pete. And I would have thought it would have been up. It was down. And a lot of that has to do to the way they recalculate their positions and set the bar at different levels. I think ETFs are more for trading than investment.
More like a stock. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. But I mean, that short term is what I'm saying. I don't think you want to own it for 10 years. So.
Do ETFs pay dividends?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I mean based on what their holdings are.
Well, that's great. You know what? That's a little information. I can do a little bit more homework and more educated decision.
And the only other thing is when we had the flash crash, ETFs took a tremendous tumble. Briefly, only because they couldn't, and that was because of the stupid way the exchanges handled the opening of the stocks, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So because they couldn't open the stocks, everybody in the ETFs, they panicked,
Right, if you'd set a limit order or a limit stop order.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to do it, probably set a limit order. That's a great idea.
Right.
Okay, sometimes.
Thanks very much for your help. It gives me a little homework to help me with my homework. Anyway.
Okay, Marty. Thank you very
call
much.
Again.
Appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Call. Okay, give us a call. Phone lines are still wide open, 803-1520, 803-1536. Two main numbers if they're busy, 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324, or 800-879-7541. We do have one caller on the phone. If he will wait 1 minute, we will take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Give us a call. Phone lines are wide open, 803-1520, 803-1536. Two main numbers, if they're busy, 803-0321, 803-0324, 803-0323. And you notice how I mixed that up and did it the other way around because
I didn't notice it all.
You didn't even notice that. Right?
I hardly pay attention.
Or 800-879-7541. We're going
to
go next to Ed in Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, sir.
I got the next Accogen, I think, bud.
All right.
AUPH. Take a look at it, please. AUPH.
I'll give you a disclaimer. I own it.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
So do I. I own it. It's $340.
Yeah, it's very speculative. I bought it. A position at a lower price, not a big position, for my own account, you know, my own account again, not for clients.
Okay.
I don't buy these for clients, you know. But at any rate, I sold half after the big run-up.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere, actually, I think, I forgot where I bought it, you know, had a nice profit, and I think I sold half at $680, and I kept the other half. And right now, I'm holding it. You know, obviously, if it dropped below, you know, you know, I'm not going to let it give much back, to say the least. Right?
You're playing with the market's money.
Exactly. Right? And the next target on it could be between 10 and 12. Right.
And it closed at 8:50.
Now, I forgot. You know, they had very good news on a drug of theirs. You know,
lupus.
Right. And actually, didn't it have remission for people or something?
Right. Right.
Yeah. I think it's the first drug to show remission.
For lupus, yeah.
Yeah.
Remission.
Yeah. So it was exciting news, and, you know, it ran up. And, yeah, so I'm holding my other half position for that 10 to 12, and then we'll see what happens next, you know.
Okay. I got one other, if you could, mm-hmm. please. OCRX.
Oh.
Take a look at that this past week.
Yeah,
they also came out with some positive news.
Osera Therapeutics.
Yeah. I mean, you know, playing these, you know the risk, right? You know, with
right,
all of these things. And sometimes they pop on this news and that's it, all right?
Right.
Do you own it or are you looking at it?
Yeah, I got it around $1.10 a share.
Oh, not bad.
Close at $1.40.
So you got it, what, before it popped then, you know?
Yeah.
And what I would like to see, you know, what's nice is, and you know, it had this tremendous volume, you know,
right.
More volume than maybe it ever traded in its lifetime, you know, something like 50 million shares just about
right.
on that one day that it popped, okay? And you kind of like what, in technical terms, what they like is you get an inside day, all right, on the next day. Which
right.
means it traded within the range of the previous day, and that's encouraging. You know, number one,
right.
And number two, I would like to see the gap hold. You know, at 127. All right.
Uh huh.
So to me, if it held that gap, that would be good. If it dropped below that gap, I might start getting a little concerned. All right.
Yesterday there was a sell off on it, and
right.
After hours it went back up again.
Yeah. So it's going to be, and it's interesting, you know, where it popped to on that big volume day
right.
was a big support area all of last year, okay, which was 195, uh-huh. you know. In technical analysis, previous support becomes resistance, okay? And,
okay.
And it hit that area. So it's got to take that 195 area out, okay?
Okay,
so be very careful, you know, about 195 approximately, all right? If it did
mm-hmm.
if it did take that out, okay, then you're talking about the possibility of around $3 a share, all right?
Okay, that would be sweet.
Yep, so remember all these levels I'm talking about, all right? But I would like to see that gap around 127 hold, you know?
Okay. Thank you, as always.
Oh,
great,
you're quite
show,
welcome.
Guys.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, Ed.
Okay, right now we will go next to Victor in Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Victor.
Dave, question for you. You're the fixed income guy. You seem very knowledgeable. Why would anyone at this point in time put any money into bonds at all other than very, very, very short-term bonds? Why would anybody... put anything into the bond market? I mean, especially say you're going out, 5 to 7 years. You're looking for returns. What, you know, why the new money in bonds?
Because they're looking for income. But I know what you're saying.
Well, what happens to the principal of the? Say you go
right. No. Peter and I have discussed this on the air that there are some people that say, "I want that dividend of 3%, 4%. I don't care if the principal goes down. There are those people, but those other people that are either more of a trader or looking for more growth, you're absolutely right, wouldn't do it. But there are some investments that have short durations, and I personally don't think, now I may be dead wrong, which has happened many times, that, you know, as Peter had said, we don't see a volatile interest rate environment that we're going to see continual and frequent interest rate increases. So that would be more devastating, Victor. And you look back in the past, that has happened, as opposed to gradual increases that the portfolios can then be adjusted. But you're right. But we have people that say, look, I want income. It's tough for me to try and find something. I have to disclaim many times and say, look, I don't really think you should do this. I would wait a little, or I want that income. So I don't know.
They're comfortable with 3-4% when the actual principal of the bond fund's going down 10-11%.
Well, most again, depending on the term, if you're looking at a mutual fund or an ETF or something that provides income, if the duration is 10, then yes, you're correct. If interest rates go up 1%, then it would mean the principal would go down 10. But a lot of these for example, a Rochester fund, which a lot of people own, New York tax exempt fund, it has a duration that's around 7. And they have bonds in there that are 12 and 13 years. 7. Used to be 18, you know, way back when. It's 7. So a lot of them have decreased the duration. But and it is a calculation. It's not a guarantee. It's a calculation based on a formula. So.
Right, because I had CNBC on the other day, and I had Tepper on, and he's actually short the bond market.
Right.
Just short the bond market. You can write out and say, I'm short the bond market. He says, you're locked in anywhere from 2 to 4 rate hikes before the end of the year. The low end is 2, upper end is 4. You're going to get some. So new money in a bond fund just to me doesn't make sense sitting on it. I'd rather have it sitting in cash in a money market.
Yeah. Well, Tepper, he's also a dice roller, so he's...
Well, I understand, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, right. But I'm just saying, just for the average investor out there, somebody wanting to construct a portfolio, say it was a 65-35 equity versus bonds, I mean, you're really, at this point, I mean, everybody waiting for a correction, you know, these people that say every 7% on a correction, I'm going to jump in at 10% when my final number is going to be. People have been waiting a long time.
I know, one of those.
To get into either end of it, the stock market, because it's high and everybody's waiting for correction, and a bond fund and a bond market for just what we discussed. So I think there's a lot of cash in people's funds that
short-term
are just
stuff. Absolutely.
Learned people. I mean, I'm smart people. Just sitting in cash waiting for something to happen, either downside on a stock to start the dollar cost average in, or bonds just letting this thing all wash out. And, you know, 3 years from now, let's readdress it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Good show.
Thanks,
you.
Victor.
Okay, thanks for calling. Okay, right now we're going to go to Paul in North Tonawanda. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Okay,
good,
how are you?
General Mills. I know you guys said you're buying it for some people a couple weeks ago, but what does it look like to you? I know it's like in a trading range, but it might be in a double bottom trading range for this point. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is it's desperately trying to hang on, you know, right now. Okay, and in looking at the stock, it is still stuck, you know, in that trading range. It had a brief pullback, you know, below that 60 area,
mm-hmm.
got down the next support in the 59 area. So I want to see that 59-60 area hold in here.
Right, because it looks like if it did break down on the bottom side, it looks like the next support might be like 55-56 or something like that, but I don't know.
You're doing very well. I mean, I would have said that, yeah, it's about right. I'd say between 54 and 56, you know. Yep.
Right. So anyway, it looks like it. You know, it's anybody's guess, right? Because you're in.
Oh,
range.
No question.
Closed
about
at
60.57,
pays 3.2%.
Yeah, but
right.
Go ahead. Yeah,
it's off its high, so that's one thing. I mean, it was a 10 points higher, but I'm not a fundamental guy so much, just like you. I look at price, but in the background, there's a lot going on against the big food companies now. So you never know.
But you know, holding that 59 to 60 area. That's encouraging. And what I kind of liked, I don't know why the stock had that big drop down from, was it earnings or something? I don't know, from 60.
Yeah, they lowered their earnings estimate there for this year, for the coming year,
But the interesting thing is that it had tremendous volume on that day, you know, over 14 million shares. And it basically opened, it closed above where it opened that day, which tells you a lot of people were buying.
Right. They're like, that's almost like they're keeping that level around 60, like you
exactly.
said.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yep.
But, yeah, that's not, but you don't know how long that's going to
hold. Right. Well,
I know one thing they have is a problem with, I see you looking at, you know, the yogurt sales. You know, they bet a lot on the Yoplait yogurt, and apparently it's not doing that great these days. So, but they've got a lot of other things going. So, who knows?
No question. You never know. Warren Buffett might be looking for another company.
Right. That's another thing. I don't think they're going to get bought out because they're tied into Nestle's pretty good. So
yeah.
If anybody. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay. Appreciate thanks for the call. Appreciate
have a good
it.
Weekend. Okay.
You too.
Bye now.
Okay. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520 or 803-1536. Those are the two main numbers to call.
And who doesn't like Cheerios?
If there's a busy signal, I don't like the price, but anyway. I haven't bought cereal in years, but I go buy it in the supermarket, and I said, you got to be kidding. Was it $5 a box or something?
I don't know.
Unbelievable.
All I know is I saw the movie Logan, and there was a product placement for cornflakes in there. The young girl, who's supposedly his daughter, eats a lot of cornflakes. End of story.
Okay. Or 803, you interrupted me, 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324, or if you do use an 800 number, 800-879-7541, give us a call. Phone lines are wide open. We're going to go next to Judy. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. I missed the stock you were talking about earlier. It was a drug stock that's might be doing some work on lupus.
Well, once again, very speculative, okay? It's a biotech company, all right? You know what happens with those. I do own it as a trading vehicle, okay?
What is it?
And what he's doing is I'm trying to avoid saying what it is after all.
I won't tell anybody.
You're going to force me into it.
She's not going to say anything, Peter.
I'll give you the symbol, okay?
Give me the symbol.
It's A-U-P-H.
A-U-P-H?
Yep. And I think it's called, what is it, Aurinia Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, that sounds like awful, A-U-P-H. Okay.
And, you know, do your research, you know, look into it, you know. And
I will do that. Also, there's one KEM.
Yeah, I bought that, and I unfortunately made some money, sold it.
You sold it.
And then somebody, well, this was back a little ways, right? You know, I sold it at a lower level than this, and I told them at the time, I think I sold it somewhere, I'm guessing, you know, near 10, say, you know, or 9 and something. And I said to him, yeah, I sold it, but I think it's going higher, you know.
Oh, yeah, you were right.
Yeah, I know. And it's it's been consolidating, you know, in the 11 area. Do you own the stock? Or
I do. Well, actually, I did own it. I got a couple points on it, sold it, and I also bought a couple of June 8th calls.
Okay.
Which are nicely in the money.
Yeah, because if this, you know, right now, I mean, it has very good support in the 10 area. Okay.
Right.
And
what did it close at?
11:15.
11:15. Okay. You have to look, you know, once again, the market could affect it, but, you know, but on an intermediate to longer term basis, I mean, there is the potential for this stock, potential, if it doesn't break through that, you know, support level, right?
Mm-hmm.
To go up to the 15 to 17 area, you know.
No. Well, that's a nice future.
There it is. So I can tell you one better. No, that's. I always tell people we want a better target than that. No, but anyway.
No, that would be just fine.
Right.
Okay, now on the opposite end of the spectrum, dividend-producing stock. I've had a Southern for a long time, and it gets a lousy rating from Schwab and you know, I'm just wondering how long to hold on to it. It was one of these inherited positions, and so I've been just sitting there and
it's
wondering
Southern Company you have?
SO, yes.
Yeah,
Southern.
So.
Looks great. I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't read all the baloney. You know, I always call them the funny mentals, you know, but
I mean
okay, this stock's in a beautiful uptrend since 2009. Okay.
As interest rates went down, yeah. But that's got nothing to do with it.
A certain extent, but the utilities, the business has been good, all right? Business has been good.
Interest
People
rates
have
gone
to buy
down.
Utilities.
Interest
right?
rates have gone down.
But at any rate, you know.
So you think that it's okay to hold?
I would hold it, you know, and I would say trend line, the long-term trend line supports in about the 46 area, right?
Close at 49.63.
Yeah. So, you know, if it drops under 46, you know, rethink it. Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you very much.
All right, have a good
Thanks
one.
For calling. Have a good weekend. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to go very quickly to Ed. Good morning.
I'm a longtime holder in Astronix. I heard you mention it briefly, but nothing about it.
I didn't mention it. You know,
someone called
did.
In. Yeah,
it's been kind of disappointing lately.
Well, I know that, but I'm wondering where support is on that.
You're just about right there. No, you're right in support in the
close at 31.10.
Yeah, and I would say this area between 29 and where it is right now is support. It's trying to hold in that area. You know.
Okay. I was thinking of buying some more when it bottomed. Patient.
They never ring a bell at the bottom, I guess.
I know that.
Well, actually, the saying is they never ring a bell at the top. But anyway.
True.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Okay. You're quite welcome. Thanks for calling. Okay. We're going to go quickly to Jim. Good morning.
Hey. Hi, Peter. Hi, David.
Hi, Jim.
Willard, if he's listening. Just a quick thought. A subject to discuss today and perhaps into the future. Elliot Gou and Roger Conrad have a video out, and their whole point is that rising interest rates don't necessarily mean one should get rid of all their master limited partnerships as well as their high dividend yielding stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And they go through this. Really what they're talking about is if you have a growing company, a growing enterprise, and growing dividends, that they will weather the storm of higher interest rates. And it's a YouTube video on their, if you're on their mailing list, you're on any of their subscriptions. Have either of you two caught that or have any comments on
it? No, I haven't seen it. You know, I would say you don't automatically dump everything because of that, okay? But I will guarantee you some will get killed and some won't, okay?
Oh, yeah, because that cliche still is there. If you're interested, I can send you the link.
Send me the link. I'll take a look at it.
Can I send it to you or Kay?
You can send it to me or her and just say send it to me or however you want to do it.
I'll send it to both of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
David, too. I don't catch the show live. I have to listen to it afterwards. But, I have rigorous physical activity that I do. David understands this on Saturday mornings, and it puts me out of commission to do the metal and financial stuff I'd like to be doing and used to do.
All right.
Great show. Okay. Always good talking to you.
Thank you. Good talking to you. Have a good weekend.
Yep.
Okay. I guess we're down to the last couple minutes of the show.
He's got a question.
What?
Kevin, our producer's got a question.
Quick.
Jump in there. Jump in there, buddy.
Hey, guys. So I have a friend who is starting a job soon at Apple. And
nice.
He's offered a 15% discount on buying stock.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm just wondering the logistics of, can he buy those and resell them immediately? Or are there purchasing periods? Or is that a good idea in general, I guess?
Well, there are rules and regulations of doing it. They should disclose it all. Some, you have to be vested for a certain period of time, which is probably going to happen buying the thing. And I think it's a good idea for a company like Apple. I think that's tremendous over the years.
Yeah, it's always, in general, works out very well if you can buy your company's stock at
Except
a discount.
For me, when I worked in the banking industry in the 70s, every bank I worked for, I lost money when I did that. So.
Right. But being able to buy it at a discount, I think you should do that. But he has to check Apple to find out what their restrictions are, you know, and so forth, as far as you know, how it's handled, right? We wouldn't know, you know.
Yeah, but they would give that to them. It'd be in
the company would tell them, yeah. But I think it's a good idea, especially for a company like Apple, to do it, periodically invest. You know?
Yep.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, thanks. Great question.
Okay. Okay, right now it's the last 2 minutes of the show. You know, next week is the Fed meeting, so everybody will be real anxious. Hopefully there'll be no big surprises. I really don't think so, you know, but you never know. You know, you never can trust the
Well,
Fed.
I know this. They're either going to raise interest rates or they're not. They're not going to lower them.
Well, no, they are going to raise them, but there'll be no other further surprises, and they won't say anything particularly really nasty in the press conference.
There is no press conference.
Oh, there isn't any this
That's why they're saying they don't think they would raise this month, because there is no press conference.
Oh, there isn't any. Well, they will raise, no question. But at any rate, we shall see. You want to make a bet?
Nope.
So we'll see what happens, you know, with the Fed meeting. You know, underneath the surface of the market, you know, people have been looking for the 7 to 10% correction in the market. The market is correcting internally. Different groups and sectors are correcting within the market, while the averages themselves are holding up. So as we always say, you know, keep a little powder dry for the opportunities, especially the ones in those areas that are correcting right now. And also, you know, we always say do your own research. So wherever you hear on any show or any place or on the internet, make sure you don't just jump out and just buy it because it sounds great. Make sure you do your own research. So until next week, take care.
Move your clock.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.